Welcome to Harvest House International Church, Brisbane. Thank you for tuning into this week's podcast. For more information, please visit us at www.hhibrisbane.org or look us up on Facebook. Thank you and God bless you.
Increasing our faith. I have to testify and say for the past 20 or so years, I've been having dreams. And in those dreams, I'll see myself swimming. I'll see myself underwater, swimming like a fish. And I'll be, it's so sweet. Amen. I enjoy and wake up in the morning and I was like, I was swimming. But then the next morning, when I look at water or when I go to a swimming pool, fear strikes me. I'll just sit and let my legs enjoy the water and not my full body. I remember when I went to Africa last year, I tried to swim and my brother's son said to me, Daddy, you can get into water. You can swim in water. I said, I can't. And then he said, just get underwater. I couldn't last a second. The moment I get underwater, it was as if I was demon-possessed because water will get in through my nose, through my mouth, and I'll come out jumping like I don't know. And the young man will just take a few coins, throw coins in the swimming pool, and he will jump in there and will come up with a coin. And he will hold his coin like this and say, I got it. So I was wondering, do you open your eyes when you're underwater? What happens? Doesn't water get into you? Through your eyes. So for a long time, I'm 34, getting into 35. For a long time in my life, I had dreams about swimming. And yet, I never swam. Say to your neighbor, I never swam. Until a few days ago. So this morning, I want to talk about increasing our faith. And this swimming example is one classic example that you might want to remember me for. Or if you want to remember this message, you have to remember this swimming example. I remember getting into water and my wife actually managed to get underwater for 28 seconds, which is good. And I remember we managed to swim and she was swimming from the other end and I swam from the other end and we met down underwater and I gave a beautiful kiss underwater. Amen. Come on, say amen. If you are married, do the same for your wife. It's not illegal. Amen. And I said, bye-bye, and that happened. And I remember my kids, Kazimulo and Lerato, jumped into water. I said, Daddy, if you see me underwater, say. And then they got underwater, and Zeke came down and said, Daddy, I said, I can see you. And we're chasing each other underwater. Man, what an achievement. Hi. I said, what an achievement. It was a great achievement. So the question is, why all these years I've been around swimming pools, I've been close to people who swim, why did I not get into water and start swimming? It's a question that I've asked myself. Why all these years you have literally failed to swim? Increasing our faith. Say to your neighbor, increasing our faith. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 17, from verse number 1 to verse, let's start from verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea, than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves, if thy brother trespass against thee, or sins against thee, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Verse 4. And if he trespass against thee seven times, someone say seven times, in a day, someone say in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive. Give him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, You might say unto this sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him, by and by, when he is come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Let's stop there for today. Here is Jesus, a very interesting story. Jesus is with his disciples. Now, this is Luke chapter 17. If we look at the chronology of events from Luke chapter 1, Jesus performed a number of miracles. He did marvelous things. He healed the sick. He ministered to the blind. The ones that were demon-possessed, one young man had palsy. Jesus came there, ministered to the young man, and the young man was strengthened. From chapter 1 right through to chapter 16, we see Jesus doing marvelous and dynamic things. And in chapter 17, we are introduced to our Lord Jesus with his disciples. Jesus begins to teach about forgiveness. He says, if someone comes to you and they offend you, and they come back and they say, I repent, so you have to forgive them. And then Jesus stretches them a little bit and says, if that same person comes to you 7 times in a day and they offend you. And now verse number 1 actually puts it in a very beautiful manner. He says that as far as offenses are concerned, they will always be there. In other words, being offended is something that is normal. It will always take place. So you can't change your master plan for your life because of offenses. You can't change the course of your destiny because you have offended. You can't leave your family because your mom has offended you. You can't leave your husband because he has offended you. You can't abandon your children and say, you are not my children anymore because they have offended you. So Jesus says, as far as offenses are concerned, these will come. They will always and always and always be there. But then he stretches it and says, when someone offends you 7 times in a day. Now, I want you to understand this thing clearly down here. At times when we are preaching in church and we make these statements, it doesn't really come out so clear. When I say when someone offends you 7 times in a day, forgive them. It means if someone comes and does something that you don't like, that's an offense, isn't it? He does something that they don't like to you, forgive them. And they say, I am sorry. You forgive them. And they come again in the same day for 7 times. Amen? For 7 times. So let's say someone comes to you and say, actually, I don't like your hairstyle. It's very ugly. And you get offended and say, I'm sorry. I really didn't mean it. And then they come again and say, actually, your shoe doesn't match properly with your skirt. And then you get offended. And he says, they come back genuinely and say, I am sorry. And you say, it's okay, I forgive you. And down the line, they come back again and say, actually, you don't look very beautiful. And then you get offended. And they come back again and say, my brother, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. In one day. And then later on, they take your money. And then come back again and say, who took my money? And say, I'm so sorry. I took your money. I'll pay it back 2 months down the line. The word of God says, forgive them in one day. Someone say, in one day. And then the next thing is they come back again and they scold your children. And then you are so infuriated and you are so angry. You want to grab them and short circuit their life. But then they come back again and say, please forgive me. And you're like, it's okay, it's fine. And your husband cheats on you. And this is the 61, eh? He cheats on you and he pops up and he says, how can you cheat on me? And he comes back and says, I'm so sorry. I was overcome by lust. Please forgive me. Jesus says, forgive them. And then number 7, they come back again and they do something crazy. They begin to scold your parents. They call your parents' names. And then they say, I was overcome by some other thing that I have no idea about. Please forgive me. Amen. Remember, it's now 11 p.m. at night. Someone say 11 p.m. at night. And then you forgive them and you hug them. Say, brother, I forgive you. And then 1 minute past 12. Hallelujah. You're now going to take a bath and you want to go and sleep. Maybe at a long night. 1 minute past 12, they do exactly the same thing that they did the previous day. Jesus says, seven times in a day, forgive them. Now, Jesus is talking to apostles. These are men that Jesus sent two by two, and they cast out demons, they healed the sick, they did mighty wonders with Jesus. These are men that saw Jesus open blind eyes. These are men that heard Jesus speak forth the oracles of God. These are men that saw Jesus get into a place and disappear unnoticed. These are men that believe in Jesus Christ and they can do anything for Christ. Amen. If you remember Peter said, Jesus, even if they want to kill you, they will never kill you. I would rather die than for you to die. These are men that have got so much faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. They trust in Jesus. They believe in him. Come on, encourage me and say amen. I know it's Christmas time, but just say amen. Hallelujah. They believe in Jesus Christ and they feel the anointing. Someone say they feel the anointing. They can experience that this man is surely come from God. No one can dissuade them otherwise. They know this man comes from God. And then Jesus gives them this aspect about forgiveness and sin. He says, you will go through offenses, but please forgive. Forgive people before they offend you. Now, they ask him a question in verse number 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. So the apostles noticed that they did not have enough faith, not to cast out demons, not to preach well, not to fail to heal the sick, not to fail to raise the dead. But they said, when it comes to areas of unforgiveness and forgiving, this one, Lord, please increase our faith. When it comes to the area of sinning, failing to forgive my brother, Lord, I can love, I can give large sums of money to the poor. I can embrace those people who come to the house of the Lord. I can do anything my pastor asks me to do. If I have to run, I can do. But God, when it comes to forgiveness, Lord, increase my faith. Now, did you know that the highest level, one of the highest levels of being bound is unforgiveness? If you check in scripture, the Bible says that if you have an issue with a brother, if you have an issue with a sister, and that issue has not been solved, when you come to the house of the Lord, like when you come here, God says, I am not going to hear your prayer. So it's easy to know what an unanswered prayer is. There are many people that say, Pastor, I've been tithing, I've been giving, I've been loving God, I've been doing everything in church, but God is not answering my prayer. One of the first things that you need to ask is, have you forgiven someone who offended you? So God says, if you come to my altar and you lift up your hands, even if you have given your offering, you have given your tithe, you have loved the poor, you have given the poor, and you have been a good mother, and you have done everything else, but you are holding a grudge in your heart against someone around, God is saying, I have made a decision. I am not going to hear that prayer. I've seen some arguments. Some people, you know, when they're arguing, and maybe it's a husband and wife says, I am not hearing you. Amen? And the brother is speaking, no, you're hearing me. I am not hearing you. So God is simply saying, you can keep talking as loud as you can, but I am not hearing you. Amen? You can scream and say, God, I'm sick, I need your healing. God is saying, until you deal with that thing, I am not hearing you. So the question that comes is, the disciples then ask and say, Lord, increase our faith. As far as this one is concerned, there is no way in which we can deal with it. Now, it's amazing that they don't say, God, they don't say, Jesus, teach us how to forgive. No. They say, Jesus, increase our faith. Which means that they have got faith. Now, Hebrews 11 is the biblical definition of faith. Now, faith is a what? A substance of things hoped for. And a what? And a conviction of that which we cannot see. That word conviction is a powerful word. That word conviction actually means to be obsessed about a particular viewpoint. So, faith is being obsessed on a particular viewpoint. If you have a certain mindset on something and you are so obsessed on it to a point that you cannot be moved otherwise, that is called faith. So you can have faith in God, you can have faith in your mom, you can have faith in your dad, you can have faith in yourself. Faith can be different. But then, so faith is that conviction. So the apostles are saying, God, increase our obsession on that which we believe in, which is you. Amen? Increase our obsession concerning the word. Increase our obsession concerning you. Now, they say, Lord, increase our faith. If you read in the Word of God, Romans 10, the Bible says, it teaches us something about faith. It says, faith comes. Amen? Faith comes. Stand up, sir. Let me just give you a simple example so that you can remember. He says, faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So when you read the Word of God, faith comes, isn't it? Okay. Let's suppose I am reading about love. Okay. When I read about love, my faith concerning love is going to come. So I'm reading the Word of God about love. Faith is coming. Faith is coming. Faith is coming. Faith is coming. And I have got love. Stand up, ma'am. And then I begin to read about prosperity from the Word of God. What does the Word of God say about prosperity? So as I was reading about love, the Bible tells me that God is love, and there is no way you can love God if you don't love your fellow brother. So as I'm reading about love, I'm gaining information about love, about the love of God, about the agape kind of love of God. As that word gets deeper in me, I end up having love in me. Why? Because I've read about love and faith has come to me. Someone say, faith has come to me. I begin to read about financial prosperity according to the scriptures. I read about give and it shall be given unto you, a good measure pressed down. I read about how God is the owner of gold and silver, how God owns cattle in 1,000 hills. And before you know it, I am prosperous. Amen? I have got faith in prosperity. I've got faith in love. And think of any other aspect in the Word of God. I can do that, and I can surround myself with the full knowledge of what the Word of God says concerning love, concerning prosperity. Thank you, guys. Amen. Clap hands for them. So, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The apostles had faith. They had heard what Jesus had been teaching about love. They'd heard what Jesus had been teaching about faith. They'd heard what Jesus had been teaching about healing. They heard what Jesus was teaching about deliverance. So talk of faith, talk of information, talk of their full understanding of issues of the kingdom, the apostles were well versed. Amen. How do we know about that? When Jesus died and went back to heaven, the Bible tells us that the apostles remained to preach the word of God in Jerusalem. They became a place where people will come to and they will get blessed. When other churches, like the church in Antioch, was planted, you find that they sent apostles, Barnabas, they sent them to Antioch so that he can go there and strengthen the church. And the Bible says for a full year, they taught in the church. Where did they learn the things that they were teaching in the church? They learned them from the apostles. Where did the apostles learn them from? They learned them from Jesus. So these apostles were not the Jack and Jill's brother and sister of today. No. But they were men that had learned deep things about God. But they asked a peculiar question and say, Lord, increase our faith. They are challenging God and saying, God, increase our faith. We need an increase on our faith. What does that mean? It means that hearing and hearing the word of God does not increase your faith. Because when you hear the word of God, like what happened as I was showing you here, when love comes, when I hear more about love, I have love. But that does not increase love in me. Are you listening to me? Let's put it simpler. If you say, God, I need some money. I give you $100. I say, here is money. What do you have in your hand? I've got money. But has that money increased? No. That's what I have. I've got money in my hands. So what most of us have done, we have been students of the word of God. We have learned the word of God. Faith has come in our lives. Ask me a scripture about anything, I can tell you. I know many of us don't read the word of God, but for those who read, that's even a worse situation, amen. But those who read the word of God, I ask you about issues of forgiveness, you can give me scriptures concerning that. I ask you issues about prosperity, you can give me issues on that. Ask me scriptures about healing and deliverance, you can give me scriptures on that. Ask me about anything, I can give you scriptures on that, because I have read, I have known, and I have faith. But here's the problem. Your life is still going on the downward spiral. You can't love your wife. If you're married, you can't love your wife, yet you have love. You can't love your children, yet you have love. So where is the problem? I remember my mom some years back, she would say that I would rather not even read the Bible. Because those that read the Bible don't practice it. They preach about it, but they do not practice it. They know about love, but they don't love. They know about giving, but they don't give. They know about deliverance, but they don't deliver anyone. So at the end of the day, they've got all this knowledge about things, but they have not implemented that. So the apostles realize something. They say to themselves, I may have known the deep things of God, but I lack something, and that thing is called faith. I need faith in my life. So they said, increase our faith. I love the answer that Jesus Christ gave, which is, I believe, the only answer that can increase your faith. Jesus then says, if you have got faith, as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, be uprooted and be thrown into the sea, and it will happen exactly as you have said. Now, watch this. Jesus says, if you have faith as what? As a mustard seed. Now, if you read in the book of Romans, chapter 10, the Bible says that for you to be saved, you believe in your heart. Amen? You believe in your heart, and then you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord. So in your heart, faith is established in your heart. So if you have got that little faith, which is the entrance faith for anyone who is not saved. So anyone who is walking out there and they hear that Jesus saves and they believe in their heart that, oh my God, I'm such a sinner. I've never been to church. I've never done anything good to anyone. And they come here, they sit down and they receive Jesus. Jesus says that that faith that is now in your heart, it's enough for you to say to this mountain, move over there. And be cast into the sea. So Jesus then gives us a wonderful lesson. He's saying that if you want to increase your faith, you have to say something. Now, that word say something, say, is actually a doing word. So he's simply saying that if you want to increase your faith, do something. Say to this mountain, step out and do something. I have a problem as a pastor because one of the key issues that trouble me so much is to see brothers and sisters give their lives to Jesus and they pour their hearts to the Lord. But when terror strikes, they're the first ones to run out of the door and go and seek help elsewhere. Now, it makes our God as if this God that we serve is a God when things are good only. Some 3 months ago, three, four months ago, most of you know that my baby was unwell. My baby was sick. It was so bad. She was very sick. But one thing that amazed someone, they actually told me, they said, "Pastor, I'm amazed that your baby is this sick, but I still find you in church or in prayer. Your baby is so sick. We are not even sure if she will die or she will live. But you're still here and you're still smiling. But you're still in church and you're still preaching. You're still laying hands on the sick. You're still counseling people that are in trouble. You don't show in your face that you have a baby who is struggling. What's the problem? Same with your wife. You know, the answer that I had is that I have faith in God. Now, that faith does not just come. It has to be increased. Are you listening to me? So if you remember that example that I gave you earlier on when I was starting this message, the example about swimming. I have been anticipating to swim for more than 20 years. One day I will swim. One day I will open my eyes underwater. One day I will do this. And I even checked on the internet how to swim. And you look at all the strategies of swimming, all the strategies of maneuvering inside water. I knew all those strategies, but I never implemented any of them. Until when I got to Makai and my young sister Nomvula said, "Spanga, I'm going to teach you how to swim today." She says, "Okay, do this." And then she took me step by step by step by step. This time I was not reading on the internet. This time I was not just checking elsewhere, but this time I was practicing exactly what I knew from the book. So I remember when I went into water, she said, "Okay, just hold your breath, do nothing, hold your breath and just go down underwater like this." And she demonstrated. She goes underwater like this and she stays for about 10 to 15 seconds and she comes up out smiling. I said, "What?" And she says, "You can do it." I said, "Really?" He said, "Just hold your breath." I held my breath. And then I went underwater like that. And I went for 10, 15. And of course, I drank a few gallons. And I came out. Hallelujah. And then she said, "It's okay. Don't worry. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again." After that, I did a number of seconds. And I was like, "Wow, I can do it." And then within a space of 5 minutes, she says to me, "Okay, brother, this time I want you to move underwater and just, you know, move like that." I said, "Dad, that's impossible." She said, "No, it's not impossible." Then she demonstrates to me. And she says, "Now I want you to do exactly that. Hold your breath, go underwater, and just do this." So I did that, and the moment I came out of water, I think I traveled about 5 meters. I looked back, and then she says, "You were here." Man, you should have seen what happened. There were many people in that pool. People left the pool for us. When we left, someone said, "Huh, you guys were having fun." But what really happened was this. That which I had, which was faith in swimming. I had never swam, but I had faith I could swim. Up until I stepped out. And I began to do something which was actually swimming. And man, we moved over to up north in Whitsundays. I saw a pool and I said, "Guys, let's get there." And we jumped in. We were swimming like we've never swum before. Are you listening to me? So when you're talking of increasing your faith, you have known the word of God. Let's say, for instance, let's talk about the issue of divine prosperity. The word of God says, "Give and it shall be given unto you." But you never discover the biblical supply that God does if you do not step out and say, because the word says it, this time I am going to give like I've never done. If you want to believe God for healing, look for any sick person and they are just about to die. Just get there and say, right, I know you're about to die, but I have never prayed for anyone to be healed. But because the Bible says, if I lay my hands on someone, if I do something, if I say to the mountain, say is the key word. If I say to the mountain, if I say to the mountain, if I do something to this mountain, if I action something to this mountain, hey, I'm not talking about praying in tongues. I'm not talking about becoming popular as a Christian. I'm talking about you at home. When terror has visited and you don't have enough airtime to call your pastor, and you don't have enough fuel in your car, and you don't have any option, maybe you don't have internet, you can't contact anybody, you're stuck in that corner. This is what I'm talking about. When all hell breaks loose, there is an evil day for everyone. Church, each and every one of us will face what is called an evil day. Where you desire, I could call Pastor Spanger, is offline. Where you desire, I could hug my mom, she's gone shopping. And you are stuck in that corner. That's the time I'm talking about. You have to do something. You have to do something. You have to say, I can't go to the left, to the right. I can't go back. I can't go forward. This time around, I have to exercise faith. Can I get an amen? The Bible speaks of Moses. When Moses was leaving Egypt and he was going to Canaan, the Bible says he gets to the Red Sea. Before him is the Red Sea. On the two sides are the mountains. Behind him are the Egyptians. And they are vying for their blood. They want to take them and kill them. Moses stands there and the children of Israel, they are crying. What does he do? He does exactly what a man of faith should do. Do something. Do something, do something, do something. The Bible says that Moses called on God and said, God, what shall I do? And God said, what do you have? Use what you have. And the Bible says he used it and the waters opened. Are you listening to me? I know there are people in this house. I know there are men and women in this house. For 10 years you've believed in God, but you've got nothing to show for it. For 20 years you've walked with God, but you've got nothing to show for it. And for 2 months or 7 months, but let me tell you something. God is calling you and saying, stop reading about me, but begin to implement, begin to do, begin to action the things that you know about me. Hallelujah. Yeah, gone are the days of remaining in poverty. Gone are the days of remaining in pain, in frustration, in confusion. But God is saying, I'm looking for a generation of men that will step out and do something. Can I get an amen? Now, did you know that great men are not those that are sitting down and have got degrees and they are professors? No, great men are those ones who discover a truth and do something about the truth. When you want to prosper, when you get a revelation, get hold of the revelation and start implementing it right now. Can I get an amen? If you sit down there, you become a statistic. We will look at you and say, he was there when we started. He was there when I believed in God. But look at where I am. Are you listening to me? The Bible says Abraham, he believed God. God said, look to the sky. He said, look down on the sand of the sea. And then he had faith in him. And God said, go to a land. But in his eyes, he could not see the land. What did Abraham do? The Bible says he took the first step. He began to walk. He began to walk. Where are you going, Abraham? I'm going to that land whose architect and builder is God, whose foundations is God who laid them. Abraham, where are you going? You're crazy in your mind. Abraham knew what Jesus taught. If you say something, if you do something, if you implement something, that something will take you to your destiny. Are you listening to me? I'm here to challenge you, church, because you need to stand up. You need to arise. You need to be different. There are songs that the world is waiting for, and those songs are right on the inside of you. There are new businesses that God is waiting for. They are on the inside of you. Some of you have to quit your jobs. Some of you have to step out and begin to do something. Some of you have to believe God. There are some children that are waiting to be born, and they are somewhere in your womb. And you're afraid to have them because you're thinking, oh, the economic situation. Let me tell you something. You got to do something. You got to step out and say, God, I know it's difficult, but God, I am stepping out. I'm doing something. I'm doing something. I'm doing something. There are men and women, some of you, God has blessed you with the anointing to heal the sick. But the moment you remain sitting down there, nothing is going to happen. Are you listening to me? I was talking to some brother, some couple of weeks ago. I said to him, can you imagine? Some of you have been in the church. I'm talking about this church. You've been in the church for 4 years. Or some of you have been in the church for 5 full years. Now, calm down, come back home. Amen. If I teach about blessings, we are still the first to run to get the man of God to lay his hands on you. If I teach about something like healing, you're always the first to run. Nothing wrong with that, isn't it? Hello? Okay, if I teach about sinning, let's say fornication, failure to do the things according to the word of God, you're always the first to run to repent. Now, there is nothing wrong with that. Let me bring it the other way around. Can you imagine in the natural sense, all of us are here and it begins to smell yuck? And Z, Lerato, and other kids are sitting down here. And we say, someone has messed up their nappies. And you come running. And say, Pastor, it's me. Please remove my nappy. Everybody raises their eyes and says, there is something wrong somewhere. But if one of these small ones stands up and says, Daddy, it's me who has messed up my nappy, everybody understands. Are you listening to what I'm saying? Now, God tolerates our failure to have faith in Him when we're young believers. But when you grow, when you spend time in the house of the Lord, and you don't still believe, and you don't still implement the things you believe, not only God, but your fellow brothers and sisters, they begin to doubt you. They see that there is something wrong with you. As we enter into 2013, I just want to encourage you and I. It's time to action what we believe. It's time to put into practice. It's time to say, speak action to mountains in our lives and see what the Lord is going to do. That's how you increase your faith. Amen. Why can't you stand up in Jesus' precious name? Hallelujah. Before I release you to go home, I want you to start thinking about things that you are struggling to do as a Christian. Think about things that you are failing to do. You know you have to do them, but you are not doing them as a believer. And you always desire God to increase your faith. I'm not going to pray for anyone this morning, but this is what I'll ask you to do as you go home. I want you to get home and start doing that exactly. Amen? Start doing it right from the onset. If it is an issue of forgiveness, step out and start forgiving. Amen? Hallelujah. Get there and say, brother, yeah, my heart is heavy about you. I feel like terminating your life right now. But the honest truth is that I'm here to forgive you. I forgive you. It's painful, but say, I forgive you. Yeah, right now as I'm speaking, I feel like slapping you, but I forgive you. Are you listening to me? I've got a gun just to shoot you, but I won't take it. I forgive you. You know, it's painful, but do it. Are you listening to me? At school, there is some boy or some girl who has been mesmerizing you. Go back to them. You know what? I know that you've got many friends than I do. I know girls with issues of friends. I know you've got many friends than I do, but you know what, Gay? You know what? I think I forgive you. I know you talk about me. I know you gossip about me, but I forgive you. You step back because you don't want to give them a fivefold ministry. I forgive you. Amen? I forgive you. And this brother is owed you some money. Go to them. Say, brother, you owe me 7,000. I need my money back still, but I forgive you for not paying it back. Please pay it back, but I forgive you. Amen? That's how your heart is conditioned by the word of God. When you do that, you'd be amazed. You don't have self-control. No self-control. No self-control. Every time you see money, you are quick to take it. Every time you see someone, you want to sleep with them, begin to exercise self-control. Say, God, give me anyone who can tempt me. And then when they walk past, say, God, I honestly feel like sleeping with them right now in broad daylight. But God, I did it. Amen. Begin to do something. And speak like Job, who says, I have made a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a woman. So the moment you do that and you see money, someone forgot their $5. You look at it and say, God, I want to buy a Big Mac, but my hands feel like taking that money, but I won't take it. I won't take it. I won't take it. Run away from it. What are you doing there? You are exercising the word of God. You're being practical about the word of God. And when you do that, you'll be amazed. Next time, the following week, the following day, you look at money and, yeah, it's just money. Amen. The following day, you look at someone there walking past and like, oh, yeah. They're wonderful and fearfully made. God bless them. And you just walk around. What have you done? You've actually produced what is called the fruit of the Spirit, which is self-control. Am I talking to someone this morning? Hallelujah. So as we enter into 2013, why can't you go to the Lord and say, God, I want to approach those mountains in my life. Help me to deal with them in Jesus' name. Why can't you give the Lord a round of applause this morning? Father, we thank you for the power of your word. We thank you that your word is living, your word is powerful, your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. Your word continues to pierce to the division of soul and spirit, bone and marrow. Your word is like water, it cleanses us. Your word is like a mirror, it shows us the logs that we have in our own eyes. Heavenly Father, your word is decisive. Your word penetrates even to the intents of the heart. It exposes the intents of the heart. Your word is pure. It is like manna. It comes and we take it and we partake of it. Father, we thank you that our minds and our hearts are submissive to the word of God. Lord, as we wrap up this year, you've been merciful, you've been kind, you've been generous to us as individuals, to our families, and as to this local church. I'm asking you, dear God, that Father, as we have this time of fellowship, this morning, may you minister to us. May you help us to talk and to mingle and to develop relations with people that previously we could not, as we exercise this word. In the mighty and precious name of Jesus, I release that spirit of grace, that spirit of favor, that spirit that enables us to love one another with that aspect of family. In the mighty and precious name of King Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God.